You have tuned in to a study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course, and we invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 10. Jesus has been at the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. The Jews gathered around him there and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you do not believe." And then he gives an explanation for why they don't believe. He said, "Because you are not of my sheep," or "because you do not belong to my sheep." Then in verse 27, he continues, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus here explains that these Jews are of another flock. They are not his sheep. If they were, they would follow the shepherd, and they would listen to the shepherd. Jesus' statement in verse 26 is critical. He said, "But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep." That tells us that Jesus has sheep. But there are a lot of other sheep. But those other ones do not belong to the flock of Jesus. Now, how do you become a part of his flock? By believing in him. And this has been repeated often since we first encountered the word believe in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And here it is in the New King James Version. "He came to his own people, and his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And that word "even," believe in his name, is in italics. It's not needed, in other words. What John was writing is whoever believes in his name. That explains how you receive him. Receiving is not the word we ought to use with people today because it's not clear. It's not plain speech. We shouldn't ask people if they have received or accepted Jesus. We ought to say it the way the Spirit inspired it. Have you believed in him? Because receiving and accepting can mean a lot of other things, but believing can mean only one thing. It means, have you trusted in this person? And so this is how you become a part of the flock of Jesus, by believing in him. Now next comes an enlargement of the teaching on the shepherd and the sheep. And that's found in verses 27 through 30. "My sheep hear my voice." He says, "my sheep," in contrast to whom? In contrast to the other sheep and the other shepherds. And Jesus has been talking about those in this context. Well, here he says, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Let's deal with this. I think we can best appreciate what Jesus is saying here. If we distinguish between what it says about the sheep and what it says about the shepherd, first of all, in regard to the sheep, it says, "my sheep hear my voice." They hear. They don't hear anyone. They hear his voice. And what is his voice? Well, it's the word of God. They follow. Who do they follow? They follow the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, and the good shepherd. Now, you have to follow somebody. Some people follow religion, and they don't follow the shepherd. Jesus is not talking about those kinds of people here. He's talking about those who follow him. He's not going to ask if you are a Baptist, a Methodist, or a Presbyterian, or Catholic. He's asking, are you following him? And he says, those who do will never perish. That's talking about safety. Religion won't give you safety, but Jesus Christ will. And of course, in the figure of speech about the sheep and the shepherd in the Mideast, the shepherd had a duty to protect his sheep, and here he is enforcing it. That is, the good shepherd is guaranteeing them safety. If they hear him, they follow him, and the result will be that they will be safe. Now let's talk about the shepherd. The shepherd speaks, "My sheep hear my voice." We have a shepherd who does speak. Jesus came and spoke for God and spoke to man. He has something to say, and what he has said has come from the Father. So when you hear Jesus, you are hearing God the Father. That's equivalent to what Jesus said to his disciples. "If you have seen me," he said, "you have seen the Father." There isn't any man in the world who would dare make a claim like that. Either Jesus was a lunatic, or he was who he claimed to be, a full representation of the Father. And by the way, who in this world could ever say that he spoke only what God told him to speak? Well, that's what Jesus said at the end of John chapter 12. He said he spoke only what the Father told him to speak. He spoke nothing on his own initiative. He said only what the Father told him to say and what to speak. So when you read Jesus' words in the Bible, you are reading the words of God. Then Jesus said, "The shepherd knows his sheep." If you look back in John chapter 10, verse 3, you will read this, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." Does Jesus know his sheep? Verse 27 tells us that he does. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." This is talking about an intimate knowledge, not something general. In verse 14, we had something similar. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Now, in addition to that, he says, he gives them life. "I give unto them eternal life." How long is eternal life? Well, this is a problem with some people. The Bible never tells us that Jesus gives conditional life. Never does the Bible say anyone is given probationary life by believing in Jesus. How would this sound? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have probationary life." That doesn't come across too well. What's probation? Well, that's a condition where you have something as long as you behave yourself. You see, there's no emphasis here on the behavior of the sheep. The emphasis is on the strength of the Savior and his ability to keep what he has promised to do. Then Jesus said, "No man can pluck them out of my hand." That's telling us about his power to protect. Does he have that kind of power? Is he strong enough to guard what you have committed to him, that is, the keeping of your soul? Well, that's what you do when you believe in him. The true believer abandons all other hope. He stops working for salvation. And if Jesus is not who he claimed to be, then we are all in a terrible fix. This passage is not talking about what theologians often refer to as the perseverance of the saints. This is a passage about the perseverance of the shepherd. It emphasizes his keeping ability, not the perseverance of the sheep. And that's what faith is all about. It means exclusive trust, not believing in Jesus and believing in something else and believing in your behavior and your own strength and in your religion or your sacraments and such other things. Faith in Christ in the New Testament is always believing in him exclusively and having no other beliefs, no other trusts. I frequently say, a person cannot believe in Christ until he abandons all other trusts. If you think that there's a little bit of chance that your church will save you, you're really not trusting in Christ alone. And so I often repeat this slogan, faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what the Bible tells us we ought to have. And if it isn't that way, then it is not biblical faith. Now that's the faith Jesus is asking for. He wants men to trust the shepherd. Don't trust the fence around the flock. Don't trust the barricade around the compound where the sheepfold is and where the sheep are kept. Trust nothing but the shepherd himself. Listen to the Apostle Paul on this matter of committing and being persuaded that he can keep us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul wrote, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." There he's talking about salvation. Are you persuaded? Who is persuaded in such a thing? Only those with faith. And if one doubts that Christ is able, then he lacks faith in the Son of God. And if you doubt that trusting in him alone is the way to God, then you, of course, do not have faith in the Savior. Well, of course, he is able. Look at who we are dealing with here. We're not dealing with a man. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said, "This Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." If you're not sure that Jesus is big enough and strong enough and equal with God, then I commend to you John chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Read it. You'll see that Jesus is equal to the Father. He is certainly able to save and able to keep all those who trust in him. Now this passage in John chapter 10 is not talking about people who call themselves his sheep or call themselves Christians. We should not assume that people who join or who attend a church are his sheep. That's a false assumption. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." This has nothing to do with church members. You can join a flock, but joining his flock is what counts, and the only way you can join his flock is by believing in him, and of course, following him. If you join his flock, that is, his flock, you don't really need to join a flock down here on this earth. I've said it on previous occasions, and I'll repeat it. You may belong to a church, but you may not belong to his church. And the only way you can belong to his church is by believing in Jesus Christ. Our free booklet, entitled Heaven's Password, will show you how you can join his church. Write for a copy. It's free. Don't send money. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.